Well, good morning, East Tennesseans and Southwest Virginians and Western North Carolinians. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru again. I don't want to leave anybody out. I mean, you may be in Middle Tennessee. Unlikely. I don't think the AM 910 radio signal stretches that far. Maybe it does at night when they crank it up. But I kind of doubt it. You know, we do have satellite radio now. Do you guys subscribe to satellite radio? I do. I like it. I've had it as a dealer, you know, when that first became available. We got it free for a while. And so when you buy a car, you get, I don't know whether it's 90 days or 6 months of free satellite radio. I listen to everything from news to comedy to music. My favorite music is The Bridge. I like that. It's kind of from my era, which would be the 70s. I'm not much into 80s music or 90s or anything newer than any of those. I do like country music, more modern country music, not the Hank Williams stuff. That was never my thing. But, you know, I certainly do appreciate it. And I like playing it sometimes on my guitar and singing along with my daughter, Audra. Audra has a great voice. Abby, eh. But Audra... I shouldn't say that. She knows her sister sings well. Abby does, or Audra does. But, you know, we do have fun playing. I play a lot for the grandkids, and that's pretty simple stuff, you know, like Jesus Loves Me. And I don't know what else I play for them. Whatever they want. Hey, if you've got nothing to do other than going to church on Sunday, which I think you should go, but maybe this would be one day that you maybe listen in online or something, because the largest cars and coffee event in the region, and I mean it's probably in the southeast, takes place, I think it's two or three times a year, but it's Harper. Are you familiar with the Harper organization in Knoxville? They have a bunch of car dealerships, including the Porsche and Audi and Infiniti and Volkswagen and so forth, but they started this cars and coffee thing that has completely got out of hand in a good way. It's at the Westtown Mall. Remember what malls used to be? They used to be places where people go. But I think the Westtown Mall has done pretty good. I know the Easttown Mall shut down. It never, I mean, when that thing first opened up, I thought it was the best thing since sliced bread. But it went downhill. I don't know, probably took about 20 years for it to happen. I don't even know if it's a mall anymore. But Westtown is still going strong, and Harper's has the Cars and Coffee event. That is on Sunday. It starts at 8 a.m. and goes to 11 a.m. And it's 7600 Kingston Pike, Knoxville, Tennessee. And you can actually take your car. I'd recommend that you go early, like around 6, 7. If you want to actually park your car and make it a part of the Cars and Coffee event. Now, what this is, folks, if you're not familiar, it's a car show, kinda. It's where people bring their cars, drive it in, and park, and let people look at their cars. Kind of like a regular car show, except it doesn't last as long. It's basically 8, 9, 10, 11. That'd be 3 hours, right? And so you pull in and just park your car, and then you start walking. And I mean that entire parking lot at the Cars and Coffee event is nothing but cars that people have brought in to show. Now, you'll see brand new cars. You'll see Lamborghinis, Ferraris, Porsches, Rolls Royces. You'll see hot rods. It is probably the finest mix of automobiles that you can possibly imagine seeing. You know, Volkswagens. And I'm looking at a buddy of mine. I was looking at the website. It actually has a website called harperscarsandcoffee.com. And they've done a great job pulling this off. And there'll be some race cars there, race cars that Porsche basically has sponsored. Now that's from like the Le Mans winning Porsche. I think it's supposed to be there. There'll be some Formula One cars that race at Le Mans and the Petit Le Mans, which I'm going to be going to next month with my brother. That's one of my annual brother trips. But I'm telling you, folks, even if you don't like cars or don't like car shows, go to this one. It'll be a fun place to walk around. You'll see stuff that you just don't see every day, and you just don't see at your little local cruise-in thing, you know, like up in Bristol or or Elizabethan or Greenville, you know, these car shows that maybe have 300 or 400 cars at most. Sometimes they have 100 or fewer. I would say there will be in excess of, 1,500 cars in this thing. I mean, it's substantial. So definitely check out the Harper Cars and Coffee this Sunday, October 24th from 8 a.m. to 11. But if you want to put your car in there, like I say, and it doesn't matter what you have, they'll let anybody in. You know, if you're driving a 1962 Ford Falcon four-door that's all rusty and everything, I wouldn't take that. No offense. But you can, and they'll let you on the grounds and let you park it. And maybe that's your pride and joy. And I shouldn't have said what I just said. You know, some people think something is special to them. And, you know, if it is and they want to show it off, then more power to you. I think that's fantastic. But Harper's Cars and Coffee. Okay, so we are in day three of driving civilly. Gateway two, but My Car Guru effort to get people to be nice on the road and in the parking lot and any place you take your car. And when somebody does something to you that you think is a personal offense on the road, you are to ignore it through Sunday and just give them the love sign. Somebody told me, the love sign I thought was where you make a little heart, you know, with your fingers. But somebody said it's like the longhorn thing that they do at Texas. So that's the love sign. So if somebody shoots you some other type of sign, then you shoot them the love sign. And let them be the one who has to struggle with anger. You just be happy and peaceful. Another tip that one of the listeners sent me was kind of interesting, and he's totally right. There's so many things we can do to be better drivers, aren't there? And more cordial to people. I had an opportunity to be cordial today, and I was in a too big of a hurry to get where I was going. I pulled up to a red light, and there was a car that was in the turn lane across from me, and they were going to turn in front of me. I was the first car. Now, when that light turned green, what should I have done? I should have waved her on, flashed the headlights, and let her go, because there was a line of cars behind me that was, I don't know, probably 8 or 10 cars behind me, so she was going to have to wait a while. No, what did I do? I hit the gas and went ahead, and she just sat there and looked sad. So I should let her go. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. What can we do for our fellow drivers to cut them some slack? One of the listeners said, use your turn signal. I think that's a great idea. You know, when we first moved to Greenville, Tennessee, there was something that my dad noticed. Of course, we came here from West Virginia. And so my dad noticed that people turned on their turn signals when the car in front of them was turning. And that was not something you do in West Virginia. And so he complained. He called the police department, said, why do people turn on their turn signals when the car in front of them is turning? And the state trooper said, well, you're not supposed to. That's against the law. But that's kind of what people did back then in the early 70s, maybe the 60s too. I don't know when it started. I don't see that anymore. Do you? Like when the car in front of you is turning, that car in front of you turns on there. That's called a fake out. You know, they have their turn signal on. You think they're turning, so you zoom up on them, and they end up going straight, and you get all mad. That's another thing to not get mad about is and if you're the one overusing your turn signal just to let people know behind you that the person in front of you is turning, stop it. That is against the law. You don't turn your turn signal on unless you're turning. Now, if you are turning, turn your turn signal on. If you're changing lanes, turn your turn signal on. If you're passing somebody on a two-lane road, my dad always told me that you're supposed to turn your turn signal on. I don't know why, but to get in that lane, honk your horn when you're going past them, and then turn your turn signal on to get back in front of them again. And that's a lot of honking and turn signaling, and I think that's a little unnecessary because a lot of people, if you honk at them today, you might get shot, you know, if you're going past them. I'm exaggerating, but that is something. People do not like to be honked at because you are telling me that I did something in error, and people don't like to be, even when they're wrong, because then you'll get that one-finger salute, and then you have to give them the love sign, right? So these are things that we can do through Sunday. Now, if you want to go back to your old habits and be a, I won't say it, but if you want to go back to your old bad habits of be angry all the time, then you can on Monday morning, but through Sunday, let's make it through midnight on Sunday. that we're going to be nice. And then we can just start being mean again, if you want to. If you don't, maybe you're converted. Maybe you have completely changed your ways because of the efforts of My Car Guru. And I hope even after going to the Cars and Coffee event in Knoxville, you will be in such a good mood that you will want to wave at people and, you know, let them turn in front of you and so forth. I'll tell you a quick story, but I'll wait till after the break about somebody waving at me and how that turned into a beautiful relationship. And I'll be back in just a minute. Okay, the Car Guru is back. It's going to be interesting to see what happens to truck sales this year. You know, Ford has, I think it's 44 years in a row, they have outsold every other brand with the F-150 or the F-Series trucks, which would include 250s and 350s and so forth. But, of course, GMC apparently is on track to hit a record sales for its heavy-duty and light-duty pickup trucks this year, despite being thin on inventory. I just really have a hard time believing that. I just wonder what's happening, though, and how this is going to end up. You know, Ram outsold Chevrolet last year, and they didn't like that much. Chevy didn't. General Motors, there. I don't think they're going to let that happen again. But it's so much about, right now, it's just about who can produce the most. And, you know, what are they leaving out as far as equipment is concerned so they can build these vehicles? You know, this chip shortage is the one that gets a lot of notoriety. But you think about all those ships. I heard today that there's up to 100 plus ships that are waiting to dock in Southern California at the largest port for container ships in the United States, but maybe not in the world, but in the United States. And all those ships are full of something that someone is waiting for. You know, I don't really care. I don't have anything ordered right now that I can think of. My wife uses Amazon a lot, much to my chagrin. But, you know, I just, right now, I don't have anything ordered. And if I don't get something by Christmas, it won't be the end of the world. Will it be for you? It shouldn't be, you know. I mean, Christmas is all blown out of proportion anyway. But I just think that this is something we're just going to have to live with a while, according to the experts. They are predicting, and as far as the auto industry, that the shortages of chips is going to go well into 2022, at least to the second half of 2022. That means that the first half is going to be rather tough. You know, we can order vehicles now. We've got probably one of the best inventories of F-150s that I've seen in the Tri-Cities region. I looked at one of the biggest competitors, and they had two. We have 12 in stock. We would normally have 40 in stock. So that kind of gives you a taste of what this lack of supply has done. But we're selling stuff. We're getting it in and selling it as soon as we get it. And a lot of people are ordering vehicles. We've got a lot of orders for the new Maverick. More orders than I thought were possible for the new Lightning pickup truck, which is the all-electric Ford F-150. They're calling it Lightning. And then what else? Mustang Mach-E. We have 7 orders for Mustang Mach-E. And had a phone call the other day from a friend of mine, and he said, "Hey, I want one of those. Do you have any in stock?" You know, it's really hard not to chuckle a little bit when somebody asks you that, because we just don't have a lot of stuff in stock. But I do want to tell you a little story about hand gestures and about what happened to me. When I was a teenager, my parents lived probably 7 miles from the city limits out in towards the mountains in Greene County. But we went to school at Greenville High School. We probably should have gone to, well, no doubt, we should have gone to South Greene. We were in their region, but for some reason or other, everybody said, "Go to Greenville High." So we went to Greenville High and ended up playing basketball there and having a great, and met my wife there and had a great overall experience my sophomore through senior years. But every day that my brother and I would go to school, we would always go the old Asheville Highway. We didn't go the new Asheville Highway because that was boring. We wanted the curves. And so every morning we'd get just about to this same point in the road, and we would pass this white Chevy Blazer, two-door. And it was an older guy. We could always see it was an older guy in there. And he wore glasses and real he would always smile real big, and he would always wave. And we waved at him. We did that for my sophomore year, my junior year, and my senior year. And every day we'd see that same gentleman waving at us. Well, I think it was my senior year in high school. After that, I decided to become a service advisor at the Chevy store. And I wasn't a very good one because I didn't know anything about cars at that point. But that was the beginning of my learning experience of dealing with customers and cars. And I learned it pretty quickly. And one day I'm sitting there at the service drive, and here comes this white Chevy Blazer pulling up the driveway. And I see that man, and I said, oh boy, I'm gonna meet the guy. And I was so excited, and he got out of his car. And his name was Ogle Niece. And Ogle turned out to be as wonderful a gentleman as I anticipated. Here I am, 17 years old, and I'm guessing Ogle was probably in his late 60s, maybe at that point. Maybe a little bit younger than that. I know he's probably in his late 60s. And we got to know each other. He wanted to get his vehicle serviced and stuff. And I introduced myself. And I said, well, Mr. Niece, I have passed by you for 3 years, and I am so glad to finally get to meet you. He said, well, I've always been a customer of your dad, and I've been in here before. I just haven't ever run into you, but it's nice to meet you. Do you like hunting? And I said, well, you know, I've dove hunted and squirrel hunted and done stuff like that. He said, what about quail hunting? And I said, well, no, I've never done that. How would you like to do that? Come to find out, Ogle Niece owned, I don't know how many acres in his house, probably, I think it was about 50 acres. And he raised bird dogs, and he was also a master woodworker. And from that point on, all through college and through, mostly once I got out of college, Ogle would call me, and he'd say, Lenny, I've got something for you. And I'd say, well, what is it, Ogle? And I'd go out to his house, and he had made me a lamp. Or he had made me some bookends. And one day he called me and he said, Lenny, I've got something for you. And I said, oh, Mr. Niece, you don't have to keep making stuff for me. He said, it's fun. Let's just come on out and get it. He had made me this solid walnut drop leaf table. Not like a dinner table or anything like that, but just like a table, a lamp, you know, for a lamp. And it had drop leaves on either side, solid walnut. I said, Ogle, you don't have to make this. You know, it wasn't about him, you know, given something to me as a gift. He just wanted some company. He wanted somebody to come out there and see what he did and just to, you know, have somebody to talk to and share with. And he was an amazing artist. He did amazing paintings. And when I say paintings, I'm not talking about, you know, somebody just getting out some paint and painting. I mean, natural beauty, great artistry. He carved stuff. He made all the furniture in his house. He built his house. He had a little shop. He raised bird dogs. You know, this is what you get when you meet with people and you interact with them on a personal level. You get to know them. The dealership gives us great opportunities to do that. This radio show has as well. Brings people into my life that are just so valuable. And it has nothing to do with money. You know what I mean? It's just uplifting. You know, it's just something where people give of themselves and share their lives with you. And that is just such a wonderful experience. And if you're in a small business and you're dependent upon, you know, customers walking in your door and interacting with you and your people, just treat them right. And you have no idea how that will flow to you. You know, the people in the waiting room, they'll talk to you if you talk with them, if you engage with them, and I enjoy doing that as well. It's just a wonderful thing to develop relationships and trust. You know, when somebody buys a car from you and they come in and they know you by name and they come to the dealership for regular service, and you know, if you happen to screw up sometime, they're going to give you a pass. They're going to forgive you. You know, they're going to give you another opportunity instead of showing their you-know-what right there in your service drive and yelling and screaming. I mean, I don't know why people do that kind of stuff. It's the same thing I've been talking about, being nice to other drivers. And again, I'm not, maybe I do sound like I'm preaching a little bit. I'm not meaning to. I'm just passionate about relationships and about nurturing those and taking care of customers and being able to enjoy the lives of others. And reflecting on that is just something that I like to do occasionally. So I hope you pardon me doing this, and I'm going to take my last break and be back here in just a second. All right, so you may be getting ready to buy a car today, this weekend. This is Friday. Saturday is usually a big day in the car business. And you know, you may be shopping for a Hyundai or a Toyota or something like that. I just always try to encourage people to relax and get as much information as you can and go home and think about it. I just had another situation last weekend. Somebody bought a car, showed up Monday morning. They beat us here, and they had decided that they weren't sure that was the best thing for them to do. So what do you do as a dealership? Well, you've got two choices. You tell them to stick it and to, you know, it's their car, they bought it, because you can legally do that. Or you say, well, let's sit down, let's talk about this, and let's figure out something. And so that's what we did. And they decided they didn't want to do the deal, and so I let them out of it. And I think that's the right thing to do, don't you? Not obligated to do it, not trying to be a martyr here, but that was on Monday. Guess who came in and bought a car on Thursday? They did. And the pressure was off. And they felt good about the way that it was handled. And they were able to get their thoughts together and figure out what they really wanted. And so now they're happy. You know, I encourage other dealer friends and stuff like that to do that kind of thing. You know, a lot of dealerships are just really hardcore, high pressure. You know which ones they are. You can watch them on TV. You can listen to their advertising. You can say, okay, that is a place that I don't need to go because it's high pressure. It's, you know, they act like it's all exciting and all this jumping up and down and all this stuff. It's just hype. And people think that they can get, you know, $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 over book value for the trade. And it's all just to come on. And you just got to read the fine print because it's just not real. And when you find that is not real and you're sitting there in the dealership, you have all the power in the world. You may hurt the salesperson's feelings, but that's tough. You know, you need to get up and leave and go to some place where they will appreciate your business. That's the best advice I can give to a car buyer, and not get all caught up in the emotion. You know, make a logical decision. Yeah, I mean, you want a pretty color car. It's nice to get something new, and it has that new car smell, and people just fall in love with it. But, folks, it's like a drug. You know, eventually it's going to wear off, and you're going to be sorry that you jumped when you should have just stayed on the ledge or turned around and taken the elevator down to the bottom floor. That's the best thing in many cases. Well, thank you again for listening to this edition of My Car Guru. Call me on my cell phone, 423-552-2020. This is Lenny Lawson, and I'll see you Monday.